welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Well, today I told you guys that we are starting a brand new teaching series. And so with that new teaching series, I have a video that's going to kick us off.
Hello.
Mr. Parker, Dr. Connors here.
Oh, Dr. Connors. How are you?
Quite a specimen you left me, Parker. Its chemistry is not unlike the chondritic meteorites of the 70s.
Thanks. That's good.
You know what, Parker? Parker?
Give me some milk.
It amplifies characteristics of its host.
Hey, give me another cookie.
Especially aggression.
This
could be dangerous. Peter, you didn't keep any, did you?
You got any with nuts?
I have some nuts. I could make some.
Go make me some.
Peter?
No. Of course not.
Shots are so good.
I'd love to shoot you sometime.
Peter Parker. Peter.
Parker! Miss Brandt! That's not the position I hired you for.
Black suit Spider-Man. Peter, these are incredible. You gotta have these, Jonah.
I'll pay you the usual rate.
If you want the shots, I'll take the staff job. Double the money.
Hey, some of y'all probably remember there's a video that's gone viral over the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks of this little boy at a school dance, and he's dancing and he's getting it. Well, if you remember that little boy, that piece right there where Spider-Man was dancing at the end of the video, that's where that little boy get his dance piece from. That's he must have watched this video over and over and over again, and he learned that dance step for step. Man, he was getting it. But anyway, you know, when we think about this clip right here, when we think about Spider-Man, you know, I want to start off by asking you guys a question. That is, do you ever feel like you have two personalities, two different personalities? You know, it's like your alter ego. Anybody ever feel like you got an alter ego? You know, sometimes we do feel like we do have an alter ego. And the reality is that we all do have some form of an alter ego. You know, some people's alter egos is more extreme than the others. You know, some people's alter egos swing far to the right or either far to the left. You know, some people, you know, you kind of, you know, swing just a little bit, and other people's, it's like swinging all over the place. But we all have some form of an alter ego. And sometimes we do feel like we have two personalities. It's like that yin and that yang, you know, it's like that that when you look at the yin and the yang symbol, you know, we have one piece that's white, one piece that's black. I'm not going to determine which one is good or which one is bad, but it's like one has, you know, one, you know, side of a personality, the other has the other side of a personality, you know? So here in this movie, Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man has an alter ego, and his alter ego is brought out from this little blue or this little black stuff that formed into a Spider-Man suit or what have you. And it brought out a different personality. It brought out a different side of him that people were not used to. Actually, it brought out a different side of him that he wasn't even used to. And so, you know, he would do things that did not fit his character, nor did it fit his personality. You know, sometimes you ask yourself the question, do you sometimes feel that you try to do the right thing, but you find yourself doing the wrong thing instead? You know, when we have, you know, the Spider-Man, he was dealing with, you know, this situation where he was out of character, he was out of his personality. And, you know, the doctor was telling him that what this thing does, it intensifies, you know, people's character traits. And he said, especially when it comes to the area of aggression, it intensifies the aggression in the person. And sometimes, you know, we feel like, you know, when we want to do right, we find ourselves doing wrong. As much as we try to do right, we find ourselves doing wrong instead. You know, it's like we got that little angel, you know, sitting on our right shoulder. And then we got on the other shoulder, on our left shoulder, we got that little red man. You know, we got the angel on one and we got the devil on the other one. And, you know, they both are doing their best to speak into our ears and tell us, you know, the direction or lead us in the direction that they want us to go. You know, we got one that's speaking into our ear and trying to lead us into, quote unquote, the right direction or the good direction. And then we got the other one that's speaking to our ear and he's trying to lead us into the wrong direction or lead us into the bad direction. We all have times like this. I know that there are times in your lives where you are facing decisions. You are facing different things and you hear both sides. You hear the good side and you hear the bad side. You hear the right side and you hear the wrong side. And you have to make the decision for yourself which one you're going to listen to. And in that, that's like your alter ego. You know, it's like the yin and the yang. It's like the good and the bad that's constantly feeding you information or constantly trying to influence you or lead you. And you have to make the decision for yourself which one you're going to listen to. And sometimes it can be challenging. Sometimes it can be hard. The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 18 and 20. This is going to be our main scripture that's going to drive us throughout this entire series. This is going to be the thing that we're going to hold fast to, okay? And that, again, if you're taking notes, it's book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. And it says this. It says, I want to do what is right, but I can't. How many of you feel like in all of your efforts, you want to do what's right, but for some reason you feel like you just can't do it, or at least in the end result or in your actions, you just don't do it. I want to do what's right. This is the Apostle Paul that's talking. Okay. During this time in his life, the Apostle Paul, he was what you would consider to be a saint. You know, I don't know why he's not called a saint yet. Saint. Oh, yeah, he is a saint. He, in the Catholic Church, he did reach the level of sainthood. So the Apostle Paul, he's a saint. All right. And here he's still at a place. He's finding himself, as much as he want to do right, he says that he can't. He says, I want to do what's good, but I don't. He says, I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I want to do, I am not really the one. He said, wait a minute, did I write that? But if I do what I don't want to do, he says, I am not really the one doing the wrong. Woo, that's our escape right there, right? It ain't me. If I do wrong, okay? If I do wrong, if y'all find me doing wrong, I'm not the one that's doing it. So don't blame me, okay? That's my escape. No, don't. That's not what he's saying here. Okay. He says, it is the sin living in me that does it. It is the sin living in me that does it. Key thing here, in me. So because it's in you, it's a part of you. It is you. Okay. What's happening is We have an angel on one shoulder and we have a devil on another shoulder, and they're both feeding into our minds. They're both speaking into our ear, and we have to make the decision. So the sin nature that's in Paul, the Apostle Paul, what he's saying is the sin nature that's in him that does it. He's making his decision. The sin, he's allowing for his sin nature to lead him. And that's what happens to us. We allow for our sin nature to lead us. The other day, earlier this week, what was it? Anyway? Monday?
I'm going to say Monday.
Sunday? Monday. Anyway, early this week, I was washing dishes. I think it was Monday. Monday, I was washing dishes. I had just cooked dinner, and I was washing dishes. And after while I was washing dishes, or getting to the end of washing dishes, I just noticed my left arm here was like really tight, you know, and I know it was already tight. Both of my arms were tight because a couple weeks ago, I got back into the gym and started working out, and I called myself, you know, I do this all the time. I don't know why I do it. I call myself starting off light. You know, when you go into the gym, especially when you know, lifting weights, you got to start off light, you know, because your muscles ain't been used in that way in a long time. And what happens is they get sore. And if you're not careful, you could pull a muscle, you could damage a muscle or something like that. But anyway, I the first day, you know, I was good. I started off light, you know what I'm saying? And I'm in there. And probably after, you know, about an hour or so in the gym and lifting weights and stuff, and I'm looking around, and you know, my pride and my ego got to me because I saw this girl. She was bench pressing, and I see this lady over there bench pressing, right? And I'm like, I already told myself, start off light, Byron. You know, you don't want to be sore like that where you can't even raise your hand up to comb your hair, you know, and because your arm's gonna be sore and tight. And I see this girl over there, and she's bench pressing. And I'm like, okay, I cannot get on this bench press, and all these people see me with a lighter weight than that girl got. So, hey, I start off and I matched it. I matched what she was doing, and I did a quick warm up. Poof! I was pumping, real fast and hard. Right? I just kind of did like a max out or a press out, whatever you want to call it. And that was just my warm up, right? Man, I was so sore. The next day, I was so sore. My arms was tight. All this was tight, everything, you know. But anyway, let me shorten my story up. So so next day, I go back into the gym, you know, and I switched up a little bit, you know, but I was still sore, but I still just pressed through it. Sometimes, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't know why, but when I feel pain, it's like I fight through the pain. I don't let the pain stop me. You know, it has to be very uncomfortable or almost to the point where I just can't do it before I let it stop me. But if I can bear with the pain, I'm gonna fight through it. That's just the way I am. So anyway, after a couple of days, you know, a few days, I was like, man, my arms are so tight. I can't do nothing. I had a couple of photography gigs I had to do, and I could barely lift my camera. I had one photography job. I could not pull my camera up to my eyes. And so I had to use my screen on my camera, and I was taking pictures like this. And I couldn't even put it to my eye because my arms were so sore and so tight. Anyway, Monday, I was washing dishes, and my arms were just sore. And, you know, I mean, the soreness actually gone by this time, but my arms were still a little bit tight. But I noticed this whole arm was swollen, and it concerned me. And I told Marguerite to it, and she was like, yeah, your arm is swollen, you know. And it was just real puffy all up in here, and it was tight, you know. And so I was like, man, I must have really did something bad to my arm when I was working out. You know, the soreness is gone, but dang, it's swelling. So the next day, you know, I put some ice on it. I iced up my whole arm, you know, for several hours, you know, went to bed, everything was good. Woke up the next morning. It wasn't as bad, but it was still some swelling there. Well, later on in the day, I was working and stuff, doing my normal routine. And I noticed that the swelling started to, you know, puff back up a little bit more. So I was concerned about it. So I called the doctor and I scheduled an appointment, and they was able to get me right in. Just so happens they had a cancellation and they was able to get me right in. So I go in, I see the doctor, telling the doctor about it. You know, and as I'm telling the doctor about it, he made me mad. He made me mad. I don't like him. I'm finna look for a new doctor. Anyway, I'm telling him, man, my arm is swollen. You know, something going on. I was in the gym working out, and I think I pulled a muscle back here or something. But you know, the soreness and the pain is gone. And now my arm is swollen. And he was like, you know, well, it don't look swollen to me. You know, he's feeling on my arm and stuff. I said, dude, feel it. It's swollen. He said, they look the same to me. I said, I'm telling you, man, my arm is swollen. All right. So he got a tape measure out. He measured both of my arms. He realized that, yeah, it was swollen. Yeah, it is swollen. I told you my arm was swollen. Yeah, it is swollen. I tell you what, I'll give you some anti-inflammatory. Write you a prescription for anti-inflammatory. And then, you know, just stay at the gym for a couple days or, you know, start do some really light stuff, you know, elevate your arm, you know, as much as you can. And I'm thinking like, this dude always do this to me. Instead of him finding the problem or trying to find the problem to resolve the problem, what he does is he quickly just medicates me. He always want to just medicate me. He's so quick to just, oh, okay, yeah, you got a little pain here. Let's give you a prescription. And I'm like, dude, what's the problem? I want to know what the problem is, okay? And so that's why he was making me mad, because he does this all the time. So anyway, you know, and then, you know, so that was, so we got to that point. I said, well, wait a minute. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I said, I still got a problem with my shoulder. I said, I was here last year. You saw me. I said, for this very same thing, I'm trying to lift weights. I'm trying to work out. I said, but I can't hardly work out like I want to because I got a constant problem in my shoulder. It's constant pain in it. And then when I lift weights, you know, I'll back off for a couple of weeks and then it'll go away. I mean, the pain will soften up, but it never goes away. I said, for a whole year, I've been dealing with this. I need to find out what's wrong with my shoulder. And he was like, stay out the gym so hard. You're trying to lift too much weight. That's, you keep hurting yourself. I said, you're not listening to me. I said, Mom. It's the pain does not go away. It stays there forever. I said, I'm starting to lose motion. I'm trying to motion range. I'm starting to lose motion range in my shoulder. He said, well, I tell you what, he said, I'll recommend you for physical therapy and we'll get your range of motion back. And I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds good. I said, but that does not address the pain. He said, well, take some Tylenol and some ibuprofen. Again, medication. Dude made me mad, right? So by this time I'm like, I'm sick of this dude, right? Y'all done been there before. So I told him, I said, okay, you know, we got to do something because this is not going away. And I told him, I saw you again. It's been about a year ago. It was about my shoulder. And it said, it's still giving me a problem. So he goes, pulls my chart. He looks up at my chart and he says, yeah, you are right. He said, I saw you last year almost to the date about your shoulder. He said, okay, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, we need to, you know, let's try this. Let's do this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Let's try the physical therapy. Let's try the anti-inflammatory. Let's give it a couple of weeks and let's just see what happens. You know, go light on the waist. Don't do nothing heavy, you know, just, you know, chill. And he said, and I see here on your charts that last year I prescribed you some medication for high blood pressure. He said, your blood pressure is a little bit high here. He said, it was high last year and it's high today. And he said, are you still taking the blood pressure medication? I said, no, I'm not. This is what the dude said to me. Y'all hear me? This is what he said to me. He said, why are you so concerned about your arm when you're letting your whole body go to waste? I wanted to just jump up and smack him like, dude, because I was already mad at this point. But he said, why are you so worried about your arm? Or why are you so concerned about your arm and you letting your whole body go to waste? He said, if you don't take care of your blood pressure and your heart, your arm ain't going to do you no good. And I was like, yeah, I get it. I know. Okay, cool. All right, doc. Give me the prescription for the blood pressure, right? And, you know, when he said that, I was already upset at him. I was already aggravated at him. But when he said that, it just hit me, you know, it made me more upset. But then I just had to be real. You know, it hit me like a ton of bricks. When the bricks first hit me, it hurt. But then it knocked me into my sense. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe his delivery is bad, but he's right. He's right. You know, if I don't take care of my blood pressure, if I don't take care of my heart, What good is it being for me to be in a gym and trying to work out and hurting my arm and all this other stuff? It I mean, dang, which one you would rather lose, your arm or your heart, you know? And I find myself doing bad, or I find myself doing wrong when I have the best intentions to do good and to do right. I know that you all can relate to me. There's things in all of our lives that you know, we have the best intentions to do right. We have the best intentions to do what's good, and what we know is good for us. But for some reason, we do wrong or we do what's bad. The Apostle Paul, you know, he's confessing this within his own self, a saint. He says, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing the wrong. It is the sin that's living in me that does it. He's acknowledging that he has sin living in his life, and he is allowing himself to be led and influenced by that sin and to doing what's wrong or to doing what's bad, as opposed to allowing for the Spirit of God to lead him into doing what's good and doing what's right. So over the next several weeks, we are going to be dealing with the title of our series. I haven't given you the title yet. I'm giving it to you now. Over the next several weeks, we are going to be dealing with the enemy within. That's the title of the series, The Enemy Within. We all have an enemy that's in us. We all have what is called a sin nature. And this sin nature is not our friend. It's not a foe. It is an enemy. It is an enemy to us, and it's all in us. It causes us to do wrong when we want to do right. It causes us to do bad when we want to do good. So today, the first enemy that we're going to deal with, the first enemy that we're going to tackle today is this: temptation. Amen. Temptation is an enemy. It's not your friend. It's not it's a friend or a foe. When I said a foe the last time. No, foe is a bad person, friend or foe. Okay. Temptation is not your friend. Temptation is your enemy. You know, this is what temptation is. It is the desire to have or to do something that you know you should avoid. So often when people think about temptation or when the word temptation comes up, our minds automatically go to this place of thinking of something maybe sexual, or start thinking about something that is lustful or something, you know, in that nature. You know what I mean? Something in that category. Temptation is much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Much, much bigger than that. So I want you to open up your minds, remove the walls, open up the gates to temptation. When it comes to your thinking of temptation, we all know that temptation is more than just sex and lust and all that stuff like that. But for some reason, when we hear it, when we talk about it, we instantly just go to that place, and we just almost like we just forget about all the other areas in our lives where we experience temptation. There are a lot of things in our lives that we desire, or a lot of things in our lives that we want to do or want to have. And we know we should avoid them. We know we should. We know we should. There's like, so right now, you know, let me tell you this here. I'm gonna come back here. I was talking about my visit with the doctor and, you know, the blood pressure and all that stuff like that. So I take the prescription. He calls in a prescription. I go pick it up. And by the time I got it, it was late. But then very next morning, I started taking the pills, one for blood pressure and one for the swelling in my arm. The swelling in my arm had already slowly started to go back down. But again, I was concerned about it. I don't want to just ignore it. Hey, tell me what's going on. The swelling has gone down. I was looking at this morning. There's still just a tiny bit there, but most of it, I would say probably 80% of it is gone. My blood pressure, I have a blood pressure machine, you know, that I've been having for years. And I think everybody should have a blood pressure cup at home. You should. I mean, I think just like you got, you know, keep sugar in the house, you need to keep a blood pressure cup at your house also. So anyway, I've been checking my blood pressure every morning and taking the blood pressure pills every morning. This morning, I took my blood pressure, and my blood pressure is almost back to normal just within a few days. Just within, I think it was Wednesday when I went to the doctor, just within a few days, it's almost like almost back to normal, almost to that perfect good place. And all I had to do was just take the pill a year ago. And I didn't. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, Byron, you wasted a whole year. Or not necessarily wasted, but you gambled. You gambled for a whole year. Like, how dumb is that? You know, and I'm sitting here this morning, it's like, man, this stuff really works. It really works. So I encourage you, you know, sometimes we do get upset at the doctors because they prescribe us medications and stuff like that, you know, and I ain't a big fan of that, you know, but I do know that there is stuff that do work. Doesn't mean that we have to be on it for life or forever, whatever. But find out, and not just taking medication, but finding out what the problem is. So there's a reason for my blood pressure being high. I need to find out what that problem is, and I need to not do that. Okay? Don't do that. Not do that. Here's the thing. When it comes to temptation, there are a lot of things that I know I should avoid because they can contribute to the negative results of my blood pressure. If I know that I shouldn't do these things, then I shouldn't do them. But there are things out there that are tempting me to do them anyway. There's this little red dude sitting on my shoulder, speaking to my ear, that's telling me, go ahead, Byron, it ain't gonna hurt you. Go ahead, Byron, it ain't gonna hurt you. And then I got this other guy over here sitting over here saying, Byron, that's temptation talking to you. Listen, that's temptation. That's that desire to have something or to do something that you know you should avoid. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay away, Byron. And here I am. I'm like Spider-Man. Bam, go fall right into it. Spider-Man, he dealt with some temptations that caused him to be out of character. He dealt with some temptations that caused him to act in ways that did not fit who he truly was. It did not fit his personality. We all know Spider-Man to be this cool, calm, and collective dude, you know, quote unquote. I ain't saying this in a negative way. I'm saying this in a positive way, but nerdy dude, you know, very polite, very mannerable. You know, kept to himself. He didn't get in anybody's way or anything like that. He wasn't flashy, trying to be in the spotlight or nothing like that. He just tried to do what was good and tried to be right and tried to be, you know, good to everybody and everything, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, he got this thing got a hold of him, and it brought out a whole different side of his personality. It brought out his alter ego. And one of the things that happened to him is temptation became more prevalent in his life. And he started just not even giving it a consideration, not even giving it a thought. When temptation was right there, bam, he just jumped right in. Okay, temptation, let's go. What you got for me? He would just jump. And sometimes we find ourselves, you know, when temptation comes to us, we don't even have a conversation with it. We don't even, you know, give it a whole lot of thought. We don't really think about it. We just like, oh, that looks good, sounds good, smells good, tastes good, feels good. Let's go with the good, okay? And we do it. We need to be careful about temptation. We need to really consider the temptations that do come into our lives. So real quickly, I want some participation from you all that are on here, okay? I want some participation. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Here's the question, okay? What do you think some of the biggest temptations that people face today? All right? So you can unmute, jump in, give me something, and then just jump right back out. What are some of the biggest temptations that you feel that people deal with today?
Food.
Food.
Drugs and alcohol.
Drugs and alcohol?
Who said food? That's a good one, food.
Okay, yes, come on. Food. What
I
else?
Think about that one.
Anybody else?
Baby said candy.
Candy? We got candy, we got food, we got drugs and alcohol. What else?
Shopping.
Shopping?
Fornication.
Fornication?
Fornication.
So sex, lust.
All right. Okay, so with that,
talking about people,
gossiping. Yeah.
All right. Gambling. Yeah.
Gambling. Okay. All right. Got it. Okay, so we got a bunch of stuff here. Okay, we got a bunch of stuff. you know, we can go on and I mean, the list, when it comes to temptation, there is a lot of things that we can add to the list of temptations. You know, here's one that I don't think I heard anybody say: procrastination. Procrastination. Yeah, we're tempted to procrastinate. You know, we're tempted to have bad eating habits. We're tempted to be lazy. Yeah, there's things that we know we need to do, but we're like, man, I just do not feel like doing this today. And we get lazy. You know, we're tempted with sex and lust. We're tempted with greed. We're tempted with pride, envy, jealous. You can name a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I mean, you can think about just about anything. And there's always going to be, and I'm going to say everything, but almost everything, there is a good and a bad to it. And everything, there is a good and a bad to it. And in that, you can be tempted to do the bad, or you can be tempted to do the wrong. Everything. I mean, do not limit temptation to the things that we named and talked about here today. Just include everything. You get behind the wheel and you drive. You're tempted to do what? Speed. Temptation. You know, you're on the job and you're tempted to talk about somebody. Temptation. Temptation is everywhere in everything. That kid is getting on your nerves. You're tempted to do what? Slap him. It's everywhere. Temptation is in everything. And what we have to do is understand that in everything, there is a good side, and everything, there is a bad side. The reason why is because we have our Father God, who has created all things good and perfect. But we also have this devil over here, our enemy, the adversary, who is trying to destroy everything good and perfect that God has made. So in everything, there is a temptation because of the enemy, and because of the enemy that is within us, the sin nature, then temptation can be in everything. All right. When you give in to temptation, do you sometimes feel like a monster? You know you gave into temptation. You know you know we say fall into temptation. Do we really fall into temptation? I want to say no, but for the benefit of not being able to analyze everything that exists in our lives and in this world, I can't say for sure everything, that there is the possibility of something that we can fall into. But I think more realistically and being honest with ourselves, it's not falling into temptation, it is giving into temptation. When we give into temptation, when you give into temptation, do you sometimes feel like a monster? Do you sometimes feel ugly or feel nasty or feel like you're this bad person? You know, when we fall into temptation, we know that it was something that we should avoid. We know it was something that we shouldn't do. We know that it was something that we should not participate in. And sometimes when we do, man, we feel ugly. We feel, you know, nasty. You know, we feel like a bad person. And we have to deal with those feelings, you know. It just makes us feel like a monster. And with that, I have a video I want you guys to show. I want to show you guys this video.
The secret side of me, I never let you see. I keep it caged, but I can't control it. So stay away from me, the beast is ugly. I feel the rage and I just can't hold it. It's scratching on the walls, in the closet, in the halls. It comes awake and I can't control it. Hiding under the bed, in my body, in my head. Why won't somebody come and save me from this? Make it in, I feel it deep within. It's just beneath the skin. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I hate what I've become. My secret side I keep hid under lock and key. I keep it caged, but I can't control it. Cause if I let them out, they tear me up, break me down. Why won't somebody come and save me from this? Make it in. I feel it deep within. It's just beneath the skin. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I hate what I've become. The nightmare's just begun. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I feel it deep within. It's just beneath the skin. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I feel like a monster. I feel like a monster. It's hiding in the dark. Its teeth are razor sharp. There's no escape for me. It wants my soul. It wants my heart. No one can hear me scream. Maybe it's just a dream. Maybe it's inside of me.
Like a monster.
I hate what I've become. The nightmare's just begun. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I feel it deep within. It's just beneath the skin. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I kinda lose control. It's something radical. I must confess that I feel like a monster. I feel like a monster. I feel like a monster.
Sometimes I feel like a monster. I know some of you can probably relate to Spider-Man, you know, feeling like a monster sometimes. Sometimes we take on things and we fall into temptations or that other side of us, that yin or that yang. I don't know which one is the bad or which one is the good, or if one is actually considered bad or good. But we have that side of us that wants to do what's right, but we find ourselves doing wrong. That side of us that wants to do good, but we find ourselves doing bad. And when we do the bad and when we do the wrong, knowing that we should avoid it, we feel like a monster. It causes us to feel nasty. It causes us to feel ugly, causes us to feel like a bad person. Spider-Man, he realized that he was a monster, and he tried to do what he can, and he fought against it to escape from it. He fought against it to get it off of him, to get it out of his life, because he realized, this is not who I am. This is not who I'm supposed to be. This is not me. And I don't want to be this ugly person. And we have to really be honest with ourselves when it comes to certain things in our lives. And they have to ask ourselves, do we want to be that ugly person? Do we want to be this monster that we have allowed to manifest itself in our lives? And temptation is a big part of that. Temptation causes us to feel like a monster. It causes us to get out of character of who we really are. It causes us to act in ways that's not becoming of our own personality. You know, what causes people to give in every time I try to say temptation now, it's like I feel like a tongue twister. But what causes people to give in to temptation? The book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 and 15 says this. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. When tempted, when temptation comes your way, when you feel like you are being tempted, again, notice this. Pay attention. Go back to what I said. Temptation can be found in everything. You have God, who has created everything good and perfect. You have the enemy, the devil, who is trying to destroy all the good and perfect that God has created. So therefore, he comes and tempts. God is not the one that tempts us, okay? He's not the one. It's like, I'm just giving you the good and the perfect. And somehow you're tempted to take that good and perfect and use it in a wrong way, or use it in a bad way, or not do it the right way. Anyway, it says, when tempted, you should not say that God is tempting me. God does not tempt us. It says, for God cannot be tempted by evil. He can't. In other words, the devil cannot tempt God. The devil is not going to get him. The devil is not going to win against God. He is a loser. He's lost. He can't defeat God. For God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. Because he cannot be tempted, he's not going to tempt you. Goes on here and says, But each one is tempted by his own evil desire. If you remember, in our last teaching series, I talked about, you know, our desires. And in one of our things, I can't remember, the passion and desires or something like that. I was talking about we need passion, but you need purpose. Or we want passion, but you need purpose. And in that, I spent some time on our desires. God gives us the desires of our heart. Okay, he gives us the desires of our heart. In other words, so those desires that God gives us are good and perfect. But we can also desire some things that are bad. We can also desire some things that are good. God is not going to give us those bad desires. He's not going to give us those wrong desires. He gives us the desires that are good and perfect. The bad desires come from the enemy. It says, going on in the scripture, it says, then after desires has conceived, in other words, we can have bad desires. We can have wrong desires. It says it gives birth to what? It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. There is something happening here. It is the devil that tempts us. It's the devil that tempts us. All right. It is our sin nature that causes us to give in to temptation. It's our sin nature that causes us. Remember, the devil is sitting on your shoulder, right? And he's talking into your ear. He's tempting you. He's speaking to you. He's trying to influence you. He's showing you things. And it's us. It's our sin nature that listens to him. It's our sin nature that gives in to him. All right. So we have to understand it's the devil. He is the tempter. And it's our sin nature that causes us to give in to temptation. Here's another scripture I want you guys to write down and listen to. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, when the tempter, there is only one tempter. Only one tempter. And when the tempter came to him, he said, he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. You remember when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. And during that time, you know, as he was reaching, you know, towards the end of his 40-day fast, the devil came to him and tempted him with three temptations that he tempted him with. And this is one of them. He says, and when the tempter came to him, he said to him, because Jesus hadn't eaten for almost 40 days and 40 nights at this time. He was getting close to the end of his fast. By this time, he was starving. His body was, you know, hungry for food. His body, you know, needed some food. He probably lost a whole bunch of weight and everything, you know. And so he's like, if you are the Son of God, the tempter knowing who he is. The tempter knew that he was the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, knowing his powers, knowing his abilities, knowing his access to God, then command these stones to turn into bread. The tempter, just like the tempter was in Jesus' ear, he's also in our ear. Jesus was not exempt from being tempted on all levels. And we're not exempt from being tempted on all levels. Starting as a young child, whenever somebody would tell us that we can't do something, or whenever somebody would tell us that we can't have something, we had it set up in our mind, maybe in our sin nature. I want it. Mm-hmm. Tell a child, no, don't touch that. Don't touch it. And what's the child going to do? Child just sitting there like, man, I'm going to touch it. You know, it's like, you know, back in the day, I don't see nobody do this no more today, but back in the day when we were growing up, we had cookie jars in the house. Everybody had a cookie jar. Man, I don't know. We need to bring cookie jars back. No, maybe too many kids would get in trouble, because I used to get in trouble all the time. That cookie jar got me in trouble all the time. Anyway, cookie jar. Parents would tell you, stay out the cookie jar, and they would sit the doggone thing right on the counter. You knew what it was. You knew it was full of cookies. And they would sit right on the counter within your reach, and they would tell you, don't touch it. Man, that's a setup. Why y'all do that to us? For y'all that's on here that's older than me, and why y'all do that to us? Y'all just tortured us. Y'all was the tempter. Y'all tempted us, kids, innocent kids. Speaking, put the jaw on the table. Look, what?
You said, this is for all those who are older than me out there.
Yeah, because I was a little kid. Anyway, okay, sorry. Since a little kid, we've been, the tempter has been coming at us. The tempter has been speaking in our ears since we was a little kid, telling us don't put our hand in the cookie jar, knowing as soon as they walk away, we already trying to figure out how to get our hand in the cookie jar and get one of them cookies. So listen, think about this. I want you to understand this, okay? We're going to bring this to a closure. We're almost done. And that is this. There is a four-stage process to temptation, all right? There is a four-stage process to temptation. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one is to think it, all right? Thinking it. And this process is actually broken down in the scripture that I shared with you guys, James 1, verse 13 and 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted by his own evil desire. Your own evil desire comes into your mind. Amen. It says he is dragged away and enticed. All right. It's a progressional stage right here that Paul is laying out. It says, then after, again, Paul is clearly showing us this progressional stage. Then after desire has conceived, it then do what? It gives birth to sin. All right. And it says, and sin, continue the progression, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Paul has clearly laid out here the progression, a four-stage progression to temptation. Number one is to think it. We think it in our mind, all right? Once we think that thing, then it starts to begin to move and starts to begin to, you know, build some legs and stuff to it. Here's a myth. Here's a myth about thinking something, all right? Thinking is not a thought. Thought and thinking are two different things, all right? So when you think something in your mind, you are actually processing it, all right? A random thought can come to your mind like, boom, that's a random thought. You had no control of it. We be thinking all the time. How can we control our thoughts? You can't control your thoughts. They just come. And then sometimes, you know, the church has taught us for so long that if we think it in our mind, we've committed sin. Okay, stop. Not true. Okay. First of all, thinking something and a thought is two different things. So understand it, right? A thought comes to your mind. Maybe it was a good thought. Maybe it was a bad thought. Thought comes to your mind. Okay, take it into captivity. If it's bad, if it's good, then expound on it. Roll with it. Okay. All right. You have the power of control. You have the power of control to decide what you want to keep thinking about. Okay. And then when it comes to thinking about that thing, how are you going to process? Thinking is a process. A thought comes to your mind, then you begin to analyze and process that thing. So depending on how you choose to analyze and process it and go with it, then that's going to determine how you're going to continue to move with it. All right. So thinking is one. Thinking is the first progression of temptation. All right. Not just a thought, not a random thought, but thinking, how are you analyzing and processing something that came to your mind? Number two is this. Number two process is wanting it. All right. There's things that we think, a random thought comes to our mind. We start thinking, analyzing and processing that thing. Okay. And then we start, at some point we make a decision, man, I really want that, or I don't want it, you know? And then when that happens, you know, we began to put more legs, you know, we during the thinking process, we done built a skeleton. And then the wanting process, we began to start putting some veins and some muscles on this thing. You know, we started to put some hair and some skin and some eyes. We started to make this thing look like what we wanted to look like. Okay. We start building our character. We start building our personality within that wanting stage. Here's a myth about wanting. Wanting is not sin. Wanting something is not sin. You can want something bad and you can want something good. Just because you want something doesn't necessarily mean you committed sin. And for so long, the church has taught us, yeah, you want it, you in sin. You might as well go on and confess right now. Stop that. That's not true. Okay? We all have a sin nature within us. We all have random thoughts that come to us. We all take things we think, we analyze and process. And we all have things that we want, bad and good. Okay, just because you want something doesn't mean that you actually committed sin. And it could be something that you want bad. What happens is, in that wanting stage, again, then the thinking stage, you're building a skeleton. You're building a structure. Like you're building a house and you got the foundation and the 2x4s and the roof and stuff like that. You know, but then during the wanting process, you start wiring the house. During the wanting process, you start, you know, putting the plumbing in there. During the wanting process, you laying down the tiles or the type of flooring that you want in the house. You know, you're putting the sheetrock up and you start decorating and putting furniture in it and everything like that. You know, that's what happens during the wanting stage. In other words, you make it look like you want it to look like. I want this, man. How do I want this house to look? This is how I want my house to look. And you start, oh yeah, that's good. I like that. Then once you built it in the wanting stage. Then what happens is the third stage in the temptation process is you do it. You do it. After you done built your house, you had a thought, man, this is how I want my house to look. And you start building your house and you start, you know, putting structures and decorations and everything to the house and designing it the way you wanted to design it. Then after you get it complete, then you do what? You move in. You move in. And so at some point, all of that wanting that you had, you actually do it. Truth. Here's the truth about doing it. Sin happens when you put wanting into action. Write that down. Tweet that. Sin happens when you put wanting into action. It's our actions where we commit sin. It's our actions where we do wrong. It's doing. To do is an action word. It's our actions where we fall short or we give in to temptation. You know, so we have to know that. We have to own that. We have to be honest with ourselves about that. Fourth one, the fourth stage and the final stage is this: pay for it. When you fall into temptation or when you give in to temptation, at some point, you're going to have to pay for it. Here's the truth about paying for it. In most cases, there will be a price to pay. In most cases, there will be a price to pay. Sometimes not, because God's grace is sufficient enough to keep us. Sometimes because of God's grace, he wipes it away and we don't have to pay for it. Think about Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. Guess what? It was God's grace. We are saved by grace. Unto faith. It's God's grace that wipes away. Sometimes we don't have to pay, but in most cases, we do have to pay. Just because we have to pay doesn't mean that God is punishing us. Just because we have to pay doesn't mean that God is writing us off, doesn't mean that he's giving us up. It's like the rules have already been set. The laws have already been put in place. It's like, dang, you go to court, you do something wrong, you go to court. Sometimes the judge's hands are tied and the judge, even though the judge does not want to convict you, the judge sometimes cannot ignore the law and has to be like, shh. But the judge do have some discretion though. The judge can say, you know what? I know that the law says this, we're gonna let you go. The judge does have that power. The judge does have that authority. But in some cases, it'd be like, we can't ignore this one. You're going to have to pay for this one, bro. We love you, but you got to pay for this one. So the truth is, in most cases, there will be a price to pay for a giving in to temptation. Amen. It says here one more time. It says, but each one is tempted by his own evil desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Death is the price to pay. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily mean literal death, but there's a price to pay. Which of these stages would be the easiest to resist temptation? First stage is thinking it. Second stage is wanting it. The first one is doing it. The third one is paying for it. Which one is the easiest? It's the thinking it stage. The thinking it stage is the easiest one to avoid temptation. So whenever a thought comes to your mind, automatically make the decision or understand or be honest with yourself. Is that a bad thought or is that a good thought? If it's a bad thought, then try to, in all your efforts, control how you think about that. Sometimes it may not be easy. It may not be easy, but sometimes control how you think about that. And if you get to the wanting stage, okay, just know you haven't committed sin yet, okay? But in the wanting stage, how are you going to structure it? Instead of building a house around it, a nice luxurious house around it, maybe build a prison cell around it. Instead of building some, you know, putting a fireplace in there, you know, instead of putting some nice, what they call these things right here?
Countertops?
Yeah, these stone countertops. You know, instead of putting, you know, some nice chandeliers and, you know, stuff like that, some Italian carpeting or rugs and, you know, the fanciest stuff. Instead of building it and decorating it in that wanting stage with good things, how that's going to cause you to want it more, try to, in your efforts, build it around a prison cell. Take captivity of it. You know, put it in a bad place. Think about it on the bad thing. In other words, I want this thing, but dang, if I do it, this is what's going to happen. If I want this thing, but if I do it, that's what's going to happen. What's going to happen to me if I actually do it? So at the wanting stage, think about what's going to actually happen if you actually do it. Think about the negatives. Think about the pros. Think about the cons. And at that place, if you can do that, then you can possibly, with great efforts and with the help of God, resist that temptation. Resist giving in to temptation. Giving in to temptation is like playing with dynamite. Don't light the dynamite. Don't light the dynamite. We do this stuff all the time. You know, you light the wick and it burns, okay? Dynamite got a long wick on it. You light the wick and it burns, okay? Guess what? If you light the wick and it burns, guess what? You still have the choice. Put it out. You can put it out. But then what happens is we keep staring at it, we're looking at it. Light it again, the wick burns down a little bit more. Oh, we can put it out. You can put it out. Sometimes some of us are holding dynamites in our hands. We're holding temptation in our hand, and we keep lighting the wick and put it out. Light it and put it out. Light it and put it out, you know? Because we want it, but then we know we shouldn't have it. Put it out. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. We want it, but I want it. Light. No, put it out. I can't do this. At some point, I know I did this a whole bunch of times as a kid. I know some of y'all probably did this before. During the 4th of July, you got some firecrackers, and then you light a firecracker, and it burns a little bit, then it goes out. You light a firecracker, you light it again, go out again. You get down to a point where that little wick is like tiny, like that small, right? Like that small. Ain't no room. Ain't no room for error. No room for mistake. And we still trying to light that thing. We light it and we kind of flinching and jumping because we know as soon as we light this thing, we got to let it go. As soon as you light it, you got to let it go, because if you don't let it go, it's going to do what? It's going to explode in your hand. And we treat temptation just like dynamite. We keep playing with it and keep lighting. And then we get down to a place. We get down to a place where, you know, ain't nothing left. There's no other place to go with this wanting stage in it. No other place to go. If you move one more inch, it's going to blow up on you. And you done did it. Pow! You done did it. And if that thing blow up in your hand, guess what? The price to pay, you can blow your hand off. Temptation is an enemy that's within all of us. None of us are exempt from it. None of us can eliminate it from our lives, but there is a way of escape. We can escape temptation. What Jesus did in all of the the three times that he was tempted by the devil, what he did is he used scripture to combat it. In other words, when we are dealing with temptation, one of our best modes of defense is go to the Word of God, see what God has to say about it, and move in that direction. Let that thing control our thinking. Let that thing control us in that wanting stage. Let the Word of God take its place. Let the Word of God take root in your life when it comes to temptation. What does God have to say about this? Wow, this is what God has to say about this. God, I want to move in the right direction. I want to move in the good direction. God, I don't want to be overcome. I don't want to give in to temptation. This is what your word says. If you take the word of God, like Jesus said, Jesus, when the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, the tempter, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said to him, the word of God says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Jesus combated the temptation with the word of God. The word of God is our first line of defense. Our first line of defense. Amen?
Amen.
So whenever you're faced with temptation, first go to the word.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.